same way in this hour in our lives to help us. Ministering angels to minister to us, to stand guard over us, to protect us, to bring messages. They're messengers of God. They bring messages to us. So here's this angel sent by God to bring a message to Philip. The angel wasn't in control of his life. God was. But God sent an angel to bring this message to him. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go to the south to the road, the desert road, that goes from down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Sometimes God might send us to a desert place, a place that doesn't have the Spirit of God flowing. We might be sent to a place that's dry. Philip was sent to a place that's dry. We might be sent to a people that are dry, that don't know God, don't even have a hunger for him. The angel said, go to the desert. Go to the desert road. So he started out. He didn't argue. He didn't say, I don't want to go to the desert road. I'm too busy. I got to do this today. I got to do that today. Come and see me tomorrow. No. These are the qualities we need, the qualities that Philip had, if we want to see God use us in this hour to spread the glory, to get souls saved, to bring in the great end time harvest. You are the harvesters. You are the sons and daughters of God that he has called and chosen. You are that army of the dead dry bones that have been breathed upon, that life is in you, that the life of God is in you. You are that army that God has raised up in this hour to bring in the end time harvest of souls, the multitudes, his sons and daughters being restored to him. But he needs a people that are willing to go wherever he wants them to go. And sometimes it's to a dry place. Sometimes it's to a stubborn people. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. When God sends us forth, he doesn't always tell us who we're going to meet. He might just say, go over there. Go to Walmart today. Go to the beach today. Go see your neighbor. You don't know what's going to happen when you get there, but God's got a plan. Philip had no clue. Had no clue. But he went. He went. Sometimes it doesn't make sense in our minds what God's telling us to do, but God's got a plan, a kingdom plan. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, the Holy Spirit's right there. Now first an angel goes and sends him. Now the Holy Spirit's with him. The Holy Spirit says to him, go to that chariot and stay near it. I'm going to tell you in this hour, the Holy Spirit is so close and I'm hearing the Holy Spirit tell me, do this, do that, say this. Don't go there. Do the step by step. And this is what happened to Philip. This is the time we're living in. What happened back then is going to happen now with even a greater intensity. Go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip said to him, prompted by the Holy Spirit, do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said. Unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. He got transported. Ah! Who? God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can God do that with us? Oh, yes. God is God. Suddenly, huh? The Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. Boop, he's gone. Pretty cool, huh? Is that cool? But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, where did God take him? Boop, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. What an awesome God. What an awesome God. But he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants us to look at this and say, this is what I'm going to be doing in this hour through you. Through you. I'm going to come to you. I might send an angel to you. And I'm going to ask you, will you go here? Will you speak to this person? Will you just go here? We might not know what we got to go for. This happened to me this week. I didn't get transported. The only part of it that didn't happen to me. But God spoke to me, put it on my heart to go to the beach. That I was to go to the beach Monday. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to the beach. So I packed up the Camaro. Told Jack, I'm taking the Camaro. I'm going to the beach. And we got to the beach. And as I'm sitting at the beach, I was reminded of the vision I had the day before, which was last Sunday. And in that vision, I saw Jesus riding on a surfboard. Now, this surfboard was bright yellow, and it was trimmed in red. And he's riding on this big ocean wave, happy as anything, riding along. And the waves were so big, but there wasn't like wave, an ebb, wave, an ebb. It was just wave after wave after wave. And I knew that in those other waves was all the blessings that God wanted to pour out on us, and which we talked about last Sunday, and what God did for us. So I'm sitting at the beach, and I'm again picturing Jesus riding on that surfboard, and here's the ocean before me, and the wave, the beautiful wave he was riding on. And instantly I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. And he said, the wave that I was riding on is called the wave of revival. And when he said that, the joy of the Lord came upon me so strong that I'm here sitting in my beach chair at the beach laughing. The joy of the Lord hit me so hard, I couldn't stop laughing for at least an hour. I just laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed, and it felt so good, so good. Just one sentence, and the joy of the Lord fell on me. Well, I didn't know what God was doing. He was up to something. He was anointing me because something was coming that he sent me to the beach for. So a good hour went by. My belly hurt from laughing so hard. And just knowing that this is revival that was here, that he's coming on the wave of revival, you know, and all that encompassed. But then I see this young man walking. He's got his bicycle, but he's not riding it. He's walking in front of me, walking down the beach. And I noticed him. He reminded me of one of the young guys that we took in years ago. He seemed similar to him. Something about him reminded me of him. And a few minutes go by, and he comes over to me. And he's an African-American young man, 29 years old. And he says to me, do you have a favorite scripture? He has his Bible in his hand. Do you have a favorite scripture that you like? And I'm thinking, oh, he's probably a Jehovah Witness, and he probably wants to convert me. That was in my mind. And I said, I'm a pastor, and I have a lot of favorite scriptures. I said, we have revival going on right now. You do? I said, yeah. He sits down beside me, and for an hour, just like Philip, and the eunuch, we sat on the beach, and I explained things to him. The Holy Spirit just took over. This young man was battling with mental illness. a helicopter flew over and he thought they were spying on him. And so I was able to really show him I was thinking was not right in a very loving, gentle way, led by the Holy Spirit. I was able to bring him through deliverance on the beach, sitting together, had him renounce fear, anxiety, mental illness, and all different things. He was a Christian, but had been really struggling, homeless. He's homeless. Name's Wesley. And he was on his way to St. Augustine. A friend of his lived there, and he was going to go try to bunk with him. And just to hear his story and see the desperation in his life and how the enemy had come in and just pillaged him, he was witnessing to somebody in Daytona Beach, and this person, he said, I was really, really, I went overboard. And he kept trying to let them understand about Jesus, but he was so forceful that the girl picked up a rock and threw it at him, and here his mouth was all cut and swollen, and yeah. So he was in a pretty bad way. But you know, God loved that boy. I knew I got sent to the beach for Wesley. God has plans for us, the kingdom plans. He loves people. He loves his children. And that young man needed to be rescued. Led him through deliverance. He understood how he was being paranoid and these different things. He explained to me different things that he had been thinking were from his grandfather that had put that in him. He recognized it. He saw it. Repented. Renounced all this stuff. And a lot of other things that he told me about. Shared his heart with me. And he said, my grandmother, she used to pray in tongues, but I never have. I said, well, you will today. God's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So right there on the beach, after he went through deliverance, I prayed for God. I baptized him. Just like Philip, huh? Baptized the Ethiopian eunuch. Prayed over him, baptized him in the Holy Spirit. He's praying in tongues. He's got the love of God all over him. He is rejoicing. He's just like, took my phone number. He's going to call me when he gets a phone. This guy was like, oh, he was so happy, free. I had a little bit of money with me. If I had $1,000, I would have given it to him. I only had 30. But whatever I had, I gave it to him. I gave him my little Bible promise book, my new international version of it that I love. Gave that to him. You know, in the day before, I preached about how the glory of God is going to change us and make us more loving and cause us to love and to give. When we get the glory, just like the early church, they sold everything they had and they gave to one another. You know, these are the people that were 50 days before screaming, crucify him to Jesus. And how the glory came just transformed them. Well, that happened to me with this young man. Such a love came on me for this 29-year-old guy that I there wasn't more that I could have done. I was sitting there thinking, what else can I do for him? What else can I do for him? And that's just the love of God. He makes it so easy for us to minister. All we got to do is just listen and follow him. Just listen and do whatever he tells us. Just go to the ones that he wants us to go to. It's not by power. It's not by might. But it's by my spirit, says the Lord. We're not going to do it in our own power. We're not going to do what God's given us to do in our own might, in our own strength. We're going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit who's in us, who's with us, who's guiding us. The Holy Spirit knew that this was going to be a big job for me to tackle. 29-year-old homeless guy with mental illness that had no one. And so what did he do? For an hour, he poured this anointing out on me, and I laughed and laughed and laughed, getting me ready so that I would have the anointing I needed, the love I needed, the wisdom I needed, the words of knowledge I needed, everything I needed to help this young man. Then when he left, I prayed some more, got up, and went home. Is God good? Is God good? God is awesome. We went yesterday to Hastings. Same thing. the glory of God. They have a whole new group of young men that are in the place. So now the place is just, we had a room full of guys, 40 to 50 guys in that room. And a lot of them weren't saved. A lot of them weren't saved. And the Lord gave me a word. While we were singing a song, and I had already spoken to them. We'd already prayed a little bit. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And I looked at one of the boys that had told me previously that when he came in the room, he said, I lost my release date. I got 60 more days or 90 more days, something like that. He lost his release, and he's one of the kids that's been there. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. Went and sat down, went into the service, and then the Lord spoke to me and told me that he's been playing God. He's been playing him. And that's why he lost his release date. And he said, just say it. I'm like, oh, huh. And he said, many of them are doing it. So when they finished the song, I told them, I said, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. One of the new kids said, yeah, what'd he say? There were some tough kids there yesterday, but God took care of them. I said, God just told me that you guys, some of you guys are playing him. You could have heard a pin drop. What does that mean? And the kid said, that you're not sincere about following him. I said, that's exactly right. You saying, oh God, come and live in my heart. I'll live for you. We're singing the songs. Rejoicing in here, and then you leave this room and you go on and live your life the way you want to. That's playing God. That is playing God. Say, I'm going to follow you, and you don't even follow him. You just do what you want with your life. You feel like swearing at somebody, you swear at them. You want something that you shouldn't have, you steal it. That's not following, that's playing God. God says, I don't want you to play me anymore. I want you to really serve me. And then God told me, he said, I want you to have them sing. He's standing beside me, just like Philip here, getting messages. This is what happened. He says, I want you to have them sing Soul on Fire and tell them, I had them all sitting at the time, only those kids that sincerely want to follow God are to stand when they sing that song. Only those that really want to be on fire for him and don't want to play God. So I told them that. I said, we're going to sing Soul on Fire, but only those who truly want to follow God and want to serve him can stand to sing this song. And it would say probably 95% of them gradually stood up and sang the song. They want to be on fire for God. Want to be on fire for God. We just got to listen to what the Holy Spirit tells us to say and have the courage to say those things. Was that hard for me? Not really. I'm like, you really want me to say this? Okay. Say it. And look what happened. Because if it's the word of God, he anoints it. There's power in that word. He's speaking that word. Whoo! That power went into those kids. And the kid that it was that God told me about, while I was saying this, I went over and just put my hand on him. Because that was the one that God had said, you're playing God. You're playing God. So I made sure he knew you're the one. But I didn't single him out. You can do it in such a way that wisdom comes. We're living in a wonderful time. And Gus got up and gave an awesome testimony about their grandson, which I'm going to ask you, Gus, if you could use the microphone because we're being taped. If you could give that testimony about your grandson to us of what God did. Or Darlene's going to do it. Darlene? What's been happening here is God has been giving me words of knowledge. The last 4 or 5 weeks, great increase in the words of knowledge. And when God gives me a word of knowledge for someone, I just hear what he says and I say it. And right away, it's happening. The word of knowledge for you, that God loved you. He didn't want you to be concerned about finances. And the next day, you had a big breakthrough in your finances. It's been happening immediately. When God gives me a word and I say it, God told me years ago, it's called words of knowledge, not thoughts of knowledge. Okay, because we can look at people and God can tell us something and we just leave it in our head and think it. Nothing happens. You have to speak it. So as you get a word of knowledge and you speak it to the person, God's word says he performs the words of his prophets, because the prophets are speaking God's word, and as they speak his word, his angels are released to perform it. And that's what's happening in this hour with words of knowledge. You got to know this. I used them at the beach, I used them at Hastings, and I used it here, the gift of the Holy Spirit, words of knowledge. Darlene, you're going to give us this testimony about your grandson? I had a word of knowledge. I'll get you started. I had a word of knowledge for you guys about 3 weeks ago, 3-4 weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said not to worry about your children or your grandchildren financially, that God was going to take care of. Do you guys remember that? God was going to take care of them, and it was not going to have to be you supporting them. God was going to take care of them.
Okay. Well, the first week that you said that, I already gave the testimony about he got the raise. Well, anyway, I was still worried about him, where he's going to get the money, because I know he doesn't want to take the loan for the college. Well, where he works, the market where he works at, he went up to see, Gus's secretary was telling us her son works for the same branch, but over on Beachside. And she said, well, you know, has he approached his boss about, they have this, some kind of an incentive that if you go to college and, you know, you're trying to pay your own way and you're working, that they'll help you, they'll reimburse, you know, what you paid. So he tried to do that, and because he's taken sports management and another course, another something else to, just in case sports management doesn't work out, well, they said they can't do that because they want him to drop one of his subjects to qualify, and he said, well, I don't want to do that because he loves sports to begin with. So he let that go. Well, last week we found out that his boss came up to him and told him, because his grades were so good in school this year, that they're gonna reimburse him that the money, that the tuition that he's,
which is about 20, how much?
Well, I don't know, because he had the grants.
Oh, okay.
But so you know how much? Well, what he paid.
He will get reimbursed.
Yeah, what he paid, not the grants, but still, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Great.
Amen. And then we have another one. Last week, while during worship, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me that this person, this woman that was sitting right here, I didn't know who she was sitting right there, has been very much burdened by somebody in her life, praying for this person, really been heartbroken and praying hard for this person. And I could feel inside me what she was feeling when she was, her burden, I could feel it when I was up here worshiping. And the Lord told me to tell her that he heard her prayer and he was going to take care of the situation. So I did. When worship ended, I went to her, I said, God wants me to know this. So now, this is what happened. I just found out yesterday. Gus told me.
Because I seen her down at the pool and we were talking, and all of a sudden she asked, you know, your name and everything, and I told her, and she said, well, she said, you know, I was sitting there Sunday. She's there, and all of a sudden she's there. She said, Pastor came over and started giving me a word. And she said, and all of a sudden, she said, I just felt these, you know, like goosebumps and everything, chills all over my whole body. She said, well, what was the problem was her sister-in-law had a terminal cancer that they said is no cure for. And I guess after you prophesied over her and spoke from the Lord, she said that she called her sister-in-law, which is a Catholic, and she said she called her that week and told her what you had said, or the week after. No, I don't.
During the week.
Yeah, this week. So her sister-in-law said that she went to the doctor, and she said I got the chills too just from you telling me that. She said, and it's not the cancer that they said was terminal, not there. And it's some kind of cancer, but it's like a skin cancer that they can
treat.
Treat, yeah. So that was praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. God is so faithful. So if you get a word, whether somebody gives it to you or in prayer, I'm praying over you, you get a word, you grab a hold of it. Because God is performing the words of his prophets so fast, so quickly. Now, this just happened Sunday, this past Sunday, to this woman. And already, her sister-in-law, who she was desperate for, is basically healed. So it just incredible, the things that God is doing. Gus got up and told the boys, I have a grandson, and my grandson follows Jesus. He doesn't play God. He's 100% devoted to Jesus, and this is what God has done for him. Don't play God. Follow him. Gus got up and told the kids he has a new car, a Dodge Dart, all with stripes on it and everything, and how what happened to him at work and how he went from first his pay raise was 25 cents an hour, then to $1 an hour, and then they said they would pay his tuition, reimburse him for his tuition. So the boys saw, you can play God and get nowhere, or you can be sincere and run after God and serve God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Then I told them, I said, the word of God says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. I said, you seek after other things and you try to get them the wrong way, which you have done through stealing and other things you've done. Has it gotten you those things? And they said, no, it hasn't. I said, but if you seek God, that's what God promises. All those things that you want, that you need, he'll give them to you. And he'll even give you the desires of your heart if you put God first. So yesterday was a real, so many boys that were basically not saved, or the ones that were saved really weren't saved, that they jumped in yesterday. They got it yesterday. We're just living in wonderful times because the Holy Spirit is right there with us, right beside us, telling us what to say, anointing us. Then we went and prayed over the boys, and one after another, I knew what God was doing with each boy. As I put my hand on him and prayed for him, miracles were happening. Miracles, miracles, miracles. Emotional things, strongholds broken off their lives, mindsets changed. I saw somebody's top of their head get cut off. And you know what God was saying? I removed the thing that's stopping him from hearing me and receiving what I want to do. And he's got a wrong mindset. And I'm changing that mindset so that he will know what I think about things and submit to me and do things my way. And then another boy, when I went before him, the Lord told me that he had been praying for his whole life to change. And he was new, one of the new kids. Never saw him before. I took his hands and said, raise your hands up. Put his hands up. I said, you've been praying for God to change your whole life, to give you a new life. And God just told me to tell you, he's doing it. He's giving you. I said, have you been praying for that? He said, yes, I have. I said, you just got it. A new life, whole new life. That's the kind of stuff God's doing with the glory, with this revival. I want to stir your faith. Stir your faith so that you can go out and let God use you. However he wants to. We can program it ourselves and think, I'll do this and I'll do that. It won't work. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. We're just going to let the Holy Spirit lead us. I'm thinking I'm going to the beach to relax, have a day off. Uh-uh. God had other plans, way better than my day just to go relax at the beach. I came home, woohoo! So excited what God had done. Yeah. Tuesday night, same thing. At Hastings, powerful, powerful what God is doing. He's meeting with each one of the boys individually where their need is, where their need is. 2 weeks in a row, Ray got up and gave his testimony about how he died. You want to give that little testimony to us about how you died? You don't want to do it? Go ahead. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Have to manage this anointing, huh? Put the microphone right up to your mouth because we're taping.
interject. I've done it twice. But not. Thirty-seven years ago. Close? Okay. 37 years ago, I'm helping a friend move some furniture. And in the process of doing that, I got a chest pain. Not a big deal. Sit down for 5 minutes and rest. But then I passed out. And the next thing I know, I'm in the back of my pickup truck being driven someplace. Don't know where I'm going, but I'm going someplace. Because the pain is so strong that I can't look and see and feel anything what's going on. Anyway, make a long story short, I end up in the hospital. I don't know that. But it got dark, and it got black. And it was, I told my wife that it was a tunnel. It could have been a room, it could have been a tunnel, but there was a little bitty light down, way down the other end, causing a shadow to be able to see in the tunnel different areas of what was going on. I found myself as a little boy, and you guys will probably remember Hopalong Cassidy. The guns, the hat, the whole nine yards. Standing on my front porch at home, trying to kill a chicken for Thanksgiving. Trying to catch one so we could cook it. Day I met my wife. Day we had kids. All things that happen in life, going down this alleyway or tunnel or whatever you want to call it, every so often I'd shoot off. And then it got real dark. With that one little light way down the other end of the line, got to be so bright that I couldn't see. I couldn't see who was standing there, but there was an image standing there. And then all of a sudden, I heard that voice say, "Your work for me is not done." And I was awake. I'm looking at her and going, "What happened?" She said, "You died last night." I said, "What do you mean I died?" She said, "You died three times. They used the paddles on you." "I don't know what you're talking about. What am I doing in a hospital?" She said, "You died. You had a heart attack and died." I don't know. I was on a trip in someplace. But I'm doing God's work, taking care of these two. I mean, I'd be doing the best that I know how, but I'm doing the best that I can. So I am doing God's work in my own way.
And coming every week to Hastings and helping out with the boys. You see?
My kids.
God is a riot, huh? That morning when Madeline went in, she had been that night to a prayer meeting and a healing service and got prophesied over. And when she went in the morning to see Ray, who was supposed to have been so bad that the doctor said he would be a vegetable if he lived, not enough oxygen to his brain, he was completely fine. He was hungry, he wanted breakfast, and they discharged him from the hospital. So God didn't just restore him back to life. God restored him completely. Resurrection power, the Holy Spirit. How faithful our God is? How faithful, huh? We need to give these testimonies. When Ray got up and gave that testimony 2 weeks to the two different groups of boys, it ignited them into a firestorm of, oh, I don't want to go to hell. They realized, some of them, that they were doing stuff that wasn't right. They discussed about voodoo and how they'd been reading books on voodoo, and there was a repentance that took place. That it just, him telling his testimony, God used it to change those guys. Yeah.
I just want to give a testimony about what happened at work. The last 2 weeks, it's been real difficult. We don't know. I didn't know if I was going to have a job next term. The ladies I work with, we've redesigned everything. And for some reason, listening to you saying, Philip, this is the same thing pretty much happened to me. I don't know why. I always go into work. I shut my door, and I sit in my office, and I pray before I go to class, and I do my own thing. But I found myself in my department chair's office every day, before classes and after classes. And we were talking, and I was just saying, you know, you really got to stop worrying, because where worry ends, faith begins. You really got to stop. It's God's got this. He's got it. She's like, oh, I wish I could be so positive like you. I'm like, just stop thinking negative. We got this. We've done everything we could do. And so this went on for 2 weeks. And then the day of the meeting, just before we went into the meeting, she said something, and I said, you know, we can do all things through Christ. She's like, I know that scripture. It's I'm like, Philippians 4:13. It's on my bracelet. Wanna look? Want it? she's like, yeah, you're right. We can do all things. Well, then we're walking down the hallway, and there's another young lady who's she's very religious, and this is where God woke my eyes up, and so I found there's a difference between knowing God and having a relationship and being religious. Because I said to her, I said, Brandy, just go ahead and pray. She goes, well, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And I just looked at her, and I thought, no, I know that I know that I know that God's got this. So just, you know, we've got to stop worrying. So we went to the meeting. And before the meeting, I said, okay, God, give us the wisdom to say the right things, and let give Tammy, who was presenting on our behalf, all of the right words to get this committee to approve to put us on the pathway. Well, when she spoke so eloquently. She had things on her. She wrote a speech, and it was like a five-minute speech, and it listed things I didn't even think could be, like I'm getting goosebumps right now, could even be thought of. And everybody in the room was quiet, and then a few negative questions started coming through, and they got answered, and I'm sitting there, and they're like, well, Chris, I think you would be the one to answer this since you're the longtime lead. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, took a minute, and I answered the questions. They passed the motion. Our class is on the pathways. I have a job still.
Awesome.
So then I'm walking back. The girls leave because I'm on the curriculum committee, and it still continued on. They leave. They go back to the office. So after the meeting's over with and it's adjourned, I go back to the office, and I walk in there, and I'm like, okay, praise God, ladies, because, you know, we have a job because of him. And I'm like, sorry, God, didn't mean to boast, but I had to make sure they knew it was you, because the whole time I kept saying, God, show them, please show them you're bigger than they are, that you're the author of our lives, not them.
Amen.
And that they need to stop worrying and have more faith, because all of them believe in him, but they didn't trust him. I trusted him, and I knew. And I actually kept saying, I showed them my bracelet that said, ask and you shall be giving, seek and you shall find. And I kept saying that. I'm like, listen, we've got this. And I kept shaking my bracelet to him, and we did. We won.
Amen. Faith, mountain moving faith. Gus?
On the Hastings, one of the boys that we've been ministering to for quite some time, he's leaving this coming Friday, is his release date. And he wants Mary and I to be there along with you all Tuesday night, because he's going to pray for us.
Yes. And for all the boys. God is good. God is awesome. Does anyone else have a testimony? Since we're in the flow of testimonies, did you have one? All right. Oh, we'll go for it. We'll do things the way the Holy Spirit wants it done, not according to our agenda.
I've been looking for employment, and I signed up with Robert Half, which is a deployment service that takes care of people with an accounting background. And so they put me on an assignment, and Monday I will start my third week. However, Thursday night, Pastor Donna and I went to a prayer meeting, and we prayed for this, that, the other, and everybody in the church, and all these things. And one of the prayers was that I would find a permanent job, that the people that I'm working for now would hire me. So anyway, that was Thursday night. So Friday morning, during the week, I had another interview with a corporation, a big corporation in Ormond Beach, and it was okay. I'd take the job if it was offered to me. However, on Friday morning, the boss lady, asked me how I made out with the interview on Wednesday. I said, oh, I did fine. Well, she said one of the staff accountants quit Thursday night, and they asked me if I wanted the job full time. And we just prayed it Thursday night.
And the next morning, she gets offered the job.
Now, I'm not sure if I'm going to take it. I got to pray about it. It's got to be, all the pieces have to be right. But it's going to be God's perfect will, not his permissive will. I want it to be his perfect will, because then if it is, everything's going to go wonderfully.
Amen. Amen. Cool? God is good, huh? God is on the move. Where we have turned a corner, and we're going in a completely different direction now. We are empowered by the glory of God. We can't let the things that we prayed for years, or the disappointments, or our failures or shortcomings of the past dictate the level of faith that we have for the days ahead, okay? Because we're just in another place. This is a new season. Just like, you know, we got to know, like the sons of Issachar, this is a new season we entered into. This is a season of the glory. This is a season of the manifestation of the sons of God. This is a season where God's pouring out his glory and doing wonderful miracles. We've been through a season of a desert season, a dry time, difficult time, sufferings, problems, issues, a lot of us. But now we're on the other side of it. We're coming in where God's saying, okay, now, I'm going to arise. I'm taking down the enemy. I'm going to have restored to you everything that's been stolen from you. The Lord spoke to me this week and told me that he's given me and us an insurance policy. That as long as we do those things that he asks us to do, that he is in total control, then if the enemy comes in and tries to rob from us, anything he takes, he has to give back double. Anything. Got to give it back double. That's our insurance policy. Double for our trouble. He's going to protect us, but if the enemy, by some chance, gets in and takes something from us, got to give back double. As long as he is in complete control. As long as God is in control. One of the things that God had shown me was in that ocean wave, he's been speaking to me all week about it, on the surfboard. The next day when I was praying, after I had met Wesley and prayed with him and whatnot, again I saw the surfboard, I saw Jesus riding on it, but this time I'm riding on his shoulders. And I'm like scared, because I've never gone surfing. And I'm in this vision, I'm afraid, like I'm going to fall, I'm going to end up in the ocean, oh my goodness. And instantly the Lord stopped. And he's like, I made the ocean. I made this. It was firm. I don't want you to be afraid. And he began to tell me that as long as he initiates whatever we're doing, like what Madeline was saying, I want this to be God's will, God's perfect will, God's plan. Because if it's God's plan and God's leading us and God's guiding us, he's got it, he created it, he's in control of it, he will sustain it and keep it moving the way he wants it to. He will help us to stand in the midst of it, and we have no fear. And from there, the next day when I was praying, again I saw Jesus on the surfboard with me on his shoulders, And where are we? Where this, it's going through a city street. And here's the ocean wave going through the city street and all big skyscrapers and whatnot. And Jesus is laughing, I'm laughing, it's a party, it's wonderful. And we are going, bringing the wave of revival into the cities. And I just felt like, so cool to just go on a ride like this with Jesus. He's doing the whole thing. He does it all. All we have to do is just listen. Listen to what he's saying. Do whatever he tells us to do. Pray for the people he tells us to pray for. Share our testimony with people he asks us to share our testimony with. Pray for people that we meet, that he tell, or give them a word of knowledge. Just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Spend your time with him every morning, because as you spend time with him every morning, you're going to get to know his voice. You'll be so sure when he tells you, I knew without a doubt what he was telling me to say to Wesley. I know when I'm at Hastings, I'm hearing him, I'm not guessing it, I know it's God. You know it's God when you're ministering, that anointing's on you, it's so clear, you know it. But you have to first make that way with that time of intimate fellowship with God, spending time with God, sitting alone with him, reading the word, letting him speak to you through the word, inspiring you and equipping you. Before we stand up to worship, you had your hand raised, Chris. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just want to follow up with what you said.
You got to use the mic.
You know, when this was all happening with my work, I actually had the devil tried to get in, and I was crying the whole way home, and I kept saying, God, how can people be so malicious? How can they hurt people like this? And I kept crying and crying, and I come home, and she said, it's the devil, because you're going to get blessed, so you keep going forward in faith, and you know that God's going to take care of everything and leave that devil behind. And Amen. It's exactly what you just said, so it was perfect.
Amen.
The Lord just showing me that when you pray, don't think that just because somebody in authority over you has more power than you, that's not the case. God gave us all the same. He said when you pray it, believe it. Just simply believe it, and it's going to get done.
Amen. Amen. So let's determine. I just feel like God's he's equipped us, and he's releasing us today in a new way. To go out and let God use us with whoever, wherever he wants to send us, like he sent Philip, to the Ethiopian's eunuch. He can send us like he sent me to Wesley at the beach, you to your grandson. There's different ones, our children, our grandchildren, different people. God's going to put them in our path. And it's a new hour where we're going to have this empowerment. We're going to have this equipping and this anointing. And I know you guys have a testimony, too, that from the doctor, right, with the cancer, you're doing much better?
Not yet.
Two more weeks for the PET scan. All right, we're believing, we're standing in faith that God is, you're going to get a good report. You're going to get a good report. You are going to get a good report. That's from the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's all stand. We're gonna worship now. Let's worship. You got to know that when you're worshiping, this is what brings down the glory. We want the glory. In the glory are all these miracles. In the glory is the presence of God. So as we worship God, we're bringing God's glory into the room, because God inhabits the praises of his people. So as we're worshiping him, we're from our heart, loving him. Never.